Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Good afternoon, welcome to The Business Bunker Show on this Tuesday, the 8th of April. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jewel Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello, you, how are you?
I'm all right. Have you finished doing your speaking every evening?
Every night. It was onerous. I had to have dinner with 200 ladies.
That must have been a terrible hardship.
It was a terrible experience. The photographs are still coming out.
I saw that you were the face of the Kent Women in Business show.
That was a bit weird, wasn't it?
Yeah, and you weren't in drag. Was quite a change.
I did enjoy it, though. It was a good evening, wasn't it?
Yeah, you did. You did enjoy it. You were in your element. Well, I had a terrible time yesterday. You know what happened? I had to go and see a couple of clients in Lindley's, and I walked all the way through the rain in Canterbury and, you know, got absolutely sodding wet, couldn't control my umbrella at all.
Yeah.
And I got home and I went to the loo and I realised...
Do we need to know this?
Yeah, there's a reason. And I realised as I went to the loo, pulled my tights down...
I don't need to know this. Mind bleach.
The tie of my dress was caught up in my tights.
Oh dear, no wonder you were wet.
Which meant the reason I'd had all these admiring glances walking through Canterbury was that my dress was hoiked up at the back.
Oh, blimey.
And nobody told me.
Is that why you were talking about your big black knickers earlier?
No, it wasn't, Andrews. That was talking about gym when, you know, in gymnasium days. The comp that I went to in Essex.
Well, I'm pleased we know that now.
You didn't need to allude to my black knickers in such
did
a way
not?
Either
no.
through my show.
Okay.
That's the Scoff and Quaff show, which is the superior show.
Is it really?
11 to 12 live every Tuesday.
Anyway, that's enough of that.
But all I'm saying is somebody could have tapped me on the shoulder and said...
Well, if I'd have been there, I would have told you.
Would you?
No. Yeah, you no, of course I wouldn't.
You'd have just followed me, taken photos and tweeted it.
I put it out on Twitter. Of course I would have done. Yeah, absolutely. You're not wrong there.
But I mean, you know, you'd think somebody would have tapped me on the shoulder and said, dear.
Never happens.
Terrible. I'll never live it down.
Cool. Hey, listen, anyway, thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. We've got a great lineup of guests. And today's show sponsor is Telcare Limited. Telcare, the telecoms providers from over there on Medway City Estate. Thank you very, very much for supporting our show. Lisa, Dave and the gang from Telcare. And thank you for that. If you want to get in touch with us on the show, we'd love to hear from you, the businesses of Kent. You can get in touch with us a number of ways. You can call us on 01303 874 998. Or you can email us at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But the most likely way to get hold of us is to tweet me at VanillaWeb. We've already had over 20 tweets in, and they are coming in thick and fast, including one from Venom Tech that has complained about our music playlist before the show and said, can they have some heavy rock?
How tardy of them
to
complain.
Can they have some heavy rock, they said.
Oh, no, not this time of day.
No.
They need to listen to that new pub show.
Yeah. I'll tell you about that later. We have got a new show starting later tonight, which is a bit of a lads thing.
Can't you tell me now? No.
We'll tell you at the appropriate time. Funnily enough, I have got a little bit of rocky music to play during the show today, so we'll come to that later.
We will.
But anyway, we'd love to hear from you, the businesses of Kent, so do get in touch with us. But for the moment, Jules is going to read us an email, I think.
Yes, I'll stop what I'm doing.
I would if I were you.
Just get on with the show.
Yeah. Tuck yourself in, get yourself sorted out.
I'm well tucked. I've got my lozenges on the go, my Strepsils. Kent and Victor Chamber have an after-hours club. There's no need to book, they say, just turn up. It's 6 to 7.30. And they say the popular and highly successful casual networking events are coming to a venue near you. So, Tuesday the 8th of April, that's this evening at Wilmoth's Crayford. And then Tuesday the 15th of April at the fabulous Abbott's Barton in Canterbury. And F Keys Limited seem to be hosting one at Rochester, and that's on Tuesday the 15th of April. So get on down there and go to a free business networking club. And did you know that Charity Dinner has helped raise £4,500 for young Kent entrepreneurs? And that's the Wealden Business Group. So well done, guys. It's their annual charity dinner at the Little Silver Country Hotel. I love that name.
Never heard of it.
Tenterden. Isn't that opposite you or somewhere?
It is.
Don't you go there in your wincey pyjamas?
Something like that.
Is that Snake Hips that goes, I don't know, never know. Never know. I've never seen you both in the room together.
No, that's true.
Early this month, it was a sellout success, and they helped to raise, as I said, this £4,500 for the Kent Foundation for Young Entrepreneurs. There were almost 120 guests. There were professional Kent magician Mark Gray, Tenterden choral singers, The Tuesdays, and an auction which featured items ranging from a print by BAFTA award-winning artist Neil Buchanan and signed gifts from chart-topping pop star Pixie Lott. Cool, that sounds amazing. So well done, guys. And there's a few sponsors I need to mention who helped make the dinner possible. Of course, the Little Silver Country Hotel, Westview Plumbing Services, Busby's Chartered Accountants, Kent and Sussex Security, Taylor Riley Stafford, the Hammond Consultancy, who are insurance brokers, PDC Business Print, APS Legal Associates, Calendar Cleaning Limited, Burt & Co., David Chiara, Dicara, and BRD Associates Photography and Video. Well done, the Wealden Business Group.
Brilliant. Well done, guys.
Wait.
Yeah.
A lot of names there.
No, that was fabulous. No, well done. It was a massive effort for the guys over there at the Wealden Business Group. Hi, Paul. Please, can you give the Institute of Directors St George's Golf Day a plug? It's on the 25th of April, not St George's Day then.
No.
And it's at Knoll Golf Club. It's a pro-am day, some very good professionals playing. John Chapman is arranging it, and I'm very sure he will be happy to call into the show or pass on more details. So if you'd like to find out, you can go to the Institute of Directors website, iod.co.uk/Ken, and find out about it. Or you can call John on 07899996583. As always on the Kent Business Radio show, everything you hear on the show today will be on our website so that you can follow it up and check it out. So if you'd like to book yourself on the St George's Day golf with the Institute of Directors, you will be able to find out all about it on the Kent Business Radio website. I've had a tweet.
Richard Barnes. I've had a
tweet. You're reading from the top of the list, and I'm not having that anymore. I'm starting at the bottom, and you're
so
down the
official.
Top.
Richard Barnes, UK independent Herbalife distributor, and he says he's, good afternoon, Mr. Vanilla Webb, and Jules
Serkin. I'm liking him already.
And Jules Serkin on Business Bunker show, listening live online, and it says from Rent our Witch of the Shepway Wellness.
Rent a Rich.
Rent a Witch, though, it's got a V, it's like Russian. You don't believe me.
Rent a Reverich.
Unless he's done a typo.
No.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But it's Rent our Reverich. I shall see. Rent a Reverich. And they are, it's a priest. Oh, so like Reverend. A priest with the old Catholic Apostolic Church, ordained to carry out the priesthood independently. And he's in New Romney.
There you go.
Ah, local.
Local man. Mm. Thank you for that, Rich. Whatever she read out there.
It's, yeah, no, I can see why, but it's, he obviously, it's Rent, Rev, Rich.
Thank you. Good. I'm glad we sorted that out.
If you do get married again, Paul Andrews,
yeah,
you don't have far to go.
Exactly. I'm glad you sorted it. I'm going to ignore that. I'm glad you sorted that out and read it from the top of the Twitter list and not the bottom. Because I'm going to read from the bottom, the first in. We've had tweets from Spark, who are, it's not a bank, and they are the peer-to-peer lending company based in Maidstone. That's Paul and the gang there who are listening in, and as are International Technology Limited, and they are known on the Twitter as Inc. Tech Limited, LTD. Inc. Tech Limited says, it's Kent Business Bunker radio show, and we're listening in. Thank you, guys. As is Adrian from AK Pet Services. And the lovely folks over Gullen's employment law over there in Maidstone. So thank you all for listening in and to tweeting us live on the show.
Diligently.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a one-day course in digital photography where you can learn the basics of understanding camera skills, how cameras and lenses work, and what you need to know to take a good picture.
I think you need to go on that, Paul Andrews.
I do indeed. Also, how to use the correct software to make your images even better. The course is only £99, and it's for a full day from 9:30 until 4:30, and that includes lunch, and it's on Saturday, the 12th of April. The places are limited, and there will be a maximum of 12 delegates on the course, and that's from Chris Lee Photography. And the venue of this course is the Anne Robertson Centre, which is at 55 London Road, Canterbury. If you'd like to book your place on that course, you can email Chris at studio@chrisleephoto.com, chrisleephoto.com, and that link will be on the Kent Business Radio website, should you wish to follow up with that.
Sounds good.
Do you want to read Chris, another tweet then?
Chris Lee is a fantastic photographer.
He is indeed.
He actually did my portrait on my website, Press Up. You'll see there's a little picture of me beaming away, and he took that.
Really?
Very. But if you look at his buildings and, you know, when he does corporate, fantastic stuff.
Fabulous.
A day's one-to-one Sage training. This is Sage 50, and it's at only £295. The first class Sage 1-to-1 training for you and your staff or clients is £295 plus VAT for the day. And during the day, you'll learn how to use the customer, supplier, banking, company and financial modules. And by the end of the session, you will also know how to set up your customers and suppliers, post supplier invoices, raise sales invoices, allocate supplier payments and customer receipts, post bank payments and receipts, and reconcile the bank, as well as produce month-end reports. This is amazing. Mm. All the stuff we all do, but all in one.
There you go.
The session's designed to give you a basic overview of how to use Sage, but if you would like more in-depth and advanced training, that's also available from the three-day Sage course. You need to contact Cain & Beer. The website is www.cainandbeer.com. And you can also call them on 01689 768 273, or info@caneandbeer.co.uk. Brilliant one.
Thank you. I'd just like to wish you speedy recovery.
Do you like sage with onion?
No, it's nothing like sage
and
onion.
Nice bit of sage and onion.
It's nothing like sage and onion.
Talking of Easter, of course, you could have duck, couldn't you, with sage and onion? Easter duck.
What are you waffling about?
Easter day is coming up.
A duck with sage and onion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Lovely.
Really?
Or orange, do you have? Duck a l'orange.
I'm not coming to your place for Easter lunch if we're having that.
Cherry sauce?
That sounds horrible. Cherry.
Cherry sauce.
Orange, maybe. I just want to wish a speedy recovery to long-term supporter and listener to the show, Chris Pollard.
I know.
Yeah. Get well soon, Chris. I hope it all eases up for you and you're back in the saddle pretty quickly. That's Chris Pollard of Connect IT over there in Midway.
Is that a euphemism? Back in the saddle?
Possibly.
Could be a bit of innuendo going on.
Possibly.
There.
Yeah, possibly. For those that don't know, sorry about it. He had a hernia operation. Sorry.
Is that when you lift something?
What?
Well, men, they get hernias and they lift things that are heavy.
Ladies can get hernias too.
Is it when they lift something heavy?
Possibly.
But a bit of your tummy pops out.
What am I? John's a doctor, not me.
I know, but
he's gone.
He's gone to get lunch.
Yeah.
Bless him.
We've had a tweet in from Realia Marketing over there in Folkestone.
Hello.
Saying they're looking forward to listening to the KAP group and to the Heating Hub. So thank you for that.
They were looking forward to meeting me for lunch.
Quite possibly, yeah.
Which is the next on the agenda.
Quite possibly. A bit of news for those of you that don't know. The national minimum wage increase has been approved by the Business Innovation and Skills Department, and changes to national minimum wage will take place from the 1st of October 2014. The new hourly rate for employees aged 21 and over will increase by 19p to £6.50. The rate for 18 to 20-year-olds will increase by 10p to £5.13. And for 16 to 17-year-olds, the rate will rise by 7p to a whopping £3.79. And the rate for apprentices will increase by 5p to £2.73. The Low Pay Commission said it expected that these increases would be manageable by all employers. I should think so.
It is tough, isn't it? Because young people have got to pay for decent clothes, decent shoes, petrol in a car if they've got a car, or transport, which is not cheap, public transport.
I don't want to rant about this.
But do.
I don't want to rant about it.
It's what you do best.
But I have a fundamental problem with the minimum wage, and not for the reason that people think that you'd have a problem with it. The problem I have with it is by stating a minimum wage, a lot of people use that as a benchmark, whereas I think the market is a better benchmark. Because a minimum wage in London is a million miles different from a minimum wage in, say, Darlington. And therefore, I think the whole thing's a bit of a misnomer.
I agree,
And to be honest, the apprenticeship rate's a laugh. I mean, I wouldn't let my kids work for that money.
No, exactly.
They couldn't afford the bus fare, let alone anything else.
Well, you know, even the park and ride yesterday, I was inquiring how much it was. A while back it was 50p in Canterbury. It's now £3. Mm. You know, what do you think of tipping? I have a problem with
Jill.
Tipping.
Oh,
I love her.
She's great. She's a great
author.
I love
Jill Tipping. What do you think?
She's been on this show, you know, talking about her book.
Now,
I think she's lovely. Why?
That's an in-joke.
Are you starting a rumour about
her? Well, no, I'm thinking about tipping. When you go places and you have to tip for hair and then you have to tip for nails.
Oh, I see what you mean. Sorry, I thought you meant fly tipping.
Tip for taxi and... You know what I mean.
Right, tipping.
What do you think? Because I just think that if everybody was paid a proper wage, you wouldn't have to subsidise wages by tipping everywhere.
Well, you're not supposed to. That doesn't count. Tips do not count as part of minimum wage.
No, I know. But I know that for example, my hairdresser has said to me that he really relies on tips. You know, he can't make it without his tips.
Really?
Yeah. And he's a good hairdresser. He's, you know, he's not a junior. He's he's top. I'm not mentioning the salon. It's not the Flow & Co. It's another hairdresser.
I was going to say.
I do get around a bit, as you know, with hairdressing.
You've been around a bit. Far be it from me.
Well, unlike you, you only have the one hairstyle, don't you?
Hey, listen, I work hard at my hair. It takes me a long time to get my hair to look like this.
But haven't you been having beauty tips from Snake Hips himself?
I'm not going there.
On Twitter.
I've got a tweet from Amy McManus.
Have you?
Yeah. Who's known as Hopsticks on the Twitter.
What does she do?
They're a social media and marketing company.
Oh, I thought she was on a pogo stick.
No. And Amy says, "Hi, I'm looking forward to listening to the Business Bunker today and to seeing you all in a couple of weeks' time." When she's
lovely.
On the show, which will be lovely.
Will
we're
she
looking
be hopping
forward to that,
in?
Amy. Yes, she will indeed.
Now, and Chris Pollard has said from the top, he says, tipping... He disagrees with me. So there's a bit of controversy here. Controversy. Tipping is a way of showing personal gratitude and is to be encouraged. Is that like lap dancing?
You tell her, Chris. Don't let her get away with her nonsense.
No, I don't agree with tipping. If I've already spent 60 quid on a hairdo, do I then have to...
It's because she's tight. Yeah. She's really tight. She's horrible.
I'm not. If I've spent 60 quid on a haircut, right, do I then have to give them 5 quid as well?
If you want to look like that again, yeah, probably. Unless you want to walk out of the salon with your dress tucked in your knickers, yeah.
Well, they let me yesterday. Maybe I didn't
exactly.
tip enough.
Exactly. See, if you spread the tips around a bit more, somebody may have tipped you the wink.
But the other thing is, in the restaurant, if you don't tip, they might spit in your food or something the next time.
Oh, don't.
They do that, you know.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't. You make it up as you go along.
Now, listen.
I've had enough of listening to
the
your nonsense.
The hand is poised to play a tune.
Yeah, I'm going to play some tunage now. And when we come back, we're going to speak to someone sensible.
Joe.
What do you reckon?
Or Graham.
No, we're going to speak to Graham first.
Well, he is sensible.
Yeah, and then someone more sensible later, which is Joe.
Joe's quite sensible.
So we don't have to listen to you. Yeah. Hey, but
what are you playing?
Well, a bit of rock.
Driving along in an automobile.
Bit of Chuck Berry.
I like it.
What do you reckon?
Can you do the duck walk?
Yeah, I can.
Go on then. Let's see. I stole a kiss at the turn of a mile. My curiosity running wild. Cruising and playing the radio with no particular place to go. Riding along in my automobile, I was anxious to tell her the way I feel. So I told her softly and sincere, and she leaned and whispered in my ear. Cuddling more and driving slow with no particular place to go. Place to go. So we parked way out on the Kokomo. The night was young and the moon was gold. So we both decided to take a stroll. Can you imagine the way I felt? I couldn't unfasten a safety belt. Riding along in my calaboose. Still trying to get her belt to loose. All the way home I held a grudge for the safety belt that wouldn't budge. Cruising and playing the radio with no particular place to go.
temporary employment? Call Temp Network on 01892 531 777.
Let's work it to the bone, bone, bone. Come on, work.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show. A bit of Chuck Berry there. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jules Serkin on Tuesday, April the 8th. It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome to the Business Bunker Show for the first time our guest, Mr. Graham Furneaux from KAP Motor Group. Graham, welcome to the Business Bunker Show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, Paul. It's a pleasure.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about KAP Motor Group and what you get up to and all the range of things you do, and we'll go from there.
Oh, I'd be delighted to. Well, Paul, KAP's local family company, in fact, started over 60 years ago by my father. Now there's three generations of the family running the business. We're a motor dealer group, fairly typical in the main part, which is we have, in fact, eight different franchises or eight showrooms across Folkestone, Ashford, Canterbury, Eastbourne and Brighton. We've got four Peugeot franchises, we've got a couple of Nissan, Ford, Fiat, Renault, and we've got an all-makes service centre in Canterbury.
Wow.
So, yeah, what we do is pretty diverse. The company's grown from pretty humble beginnings. In fact, my father started the business working in the workshop himself. And we've now got over 200 employees. We'll turn over £50 million this year. And, yeah, we're successful, but we work hard and we've got some great people working for us and people who've worked for us, sort of man and boy. And, you know, we see opportunities, but, you know, we just try and do the basics right, really. That's how we run our business.
Absolutely. And it's one of the things we like to celebrate on a Business Bunker Show, a firm such as yours, you know, a family business, well-established, but also part of the local community. And that's what really makes it work, isn't it? That it's a big family.
Absolutely. Well, we started in Folkestone, and Folkestone is our biggest branch.
Right.
We've got a Nissan franchise, a Peugeot franchise, and a Ford franchise on the Shorncliffe Motor Park, but we've also got a body shop there for repairing vehicles. We do alloy wheel refurbishments there. In fact, refurb alloy.
I need to talk to you
about your body refurb.
Well, lots of people do.
I've been doing a bit of damage to some cars just recently.
Well, we've invested heavily in a lot of equipment, and we actually do manufacturer work for some of the main manufacturers, repairing their damaged wheels for warranty repair and so forth. So we've invested heavily in equipment. In fact, we just bought a special lathe over from the States, which allows us to basically machine face wheels. Wheels are becoming ever more complicated and ever more intricate, and to repair them it becomes quite a process, but we've got the equipment. So again, that's something that happens in Folkestone, that, you know, we work for companies throughout the UK. And we do everything within the motor trade, really. That's our USP. We invest in a lot of machinery. In fact, the reason that I've been invited to come along here with regard to the East Kent expansion scheme was because we've recently opened a new site in Canterbury, which is an all-makes service centre. And in order to achieve a bona fide offering to our potential customers, we need to be able to fix every make of car.
Sure.
Now, typically within the motor vehicle market, it's fragmented in that you have main dealers with their franchise equipment, and in the old days you used to have lots of guys from a one man band to businesses that were running and have a few employees but would generally repair any type of vehicle. Well, with computerization and specialism, it's becoming pretty well impossible for these small people to invest in the capital equipment that you need to read all the computer outputs and in fact to repair the cars at all.
Absolutely.
So we decided that because across our group we represent so many franchises, we have a lot of expertise, we have a lot of the equipment, and basically by consolidating all of that into one branch, which we now do in Canterbury, we're able to offer this one-stop shop. We have a parts franchise for all makes parts on site there in Canterbury. So we can basically fix 95% of any issue on any car there and then. And of course, to achieve that, to give that level of service, you really do have to have huge amounts of equipment, huge amounts of technical expertise, all that kind of stuff, and that's where our investment
absolutely.
In that site really...
I can reinforce that. Many years ago, I used to own a motor racing team, and we spent more money on engine management systems than anything else, and computers and laptops and blowing up engines because we overmapped it and stuff like that. So you're absolutely right.
Well, there you are. And a lot of the equipment now, you do tend to get little clusters. So three or four manufacturers, you might be able to get a bit of software that will read three or four. Then you need another bit of software for another three or four. And then one person who's stuck out for their own bit of software and that kind of stuff. And I mean, it was an interesting business project because the only way it can work is if you invest heavily in having a substantial site, having lots of equipment, and you have to have all that before you open the door. Because if you open the door and you haven't got the equipment for that particular brand that is the first one through the door, the whole concept's
credibility
is gone. Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so. It was a big step for us. It's a large site. It's on the Ashford Road there in Chartham, just outside of Canterbury, on the way to Ashford, up on the right-hand side.
That's
there.
A good location, though.
Yeah, and it's a big site. We can we expect to be having a throughput of about 70 to 100 vehicles a day through there. But we're already up to sort of 30 to 40 a day from a standing start in August last year. So. Yeah, things are looking good, but the proposition, people seem to understand the proposition, and they welcome the fact that they're not paying for someone with a big glass box. They're not paying for you know, franchise lovelies here and there, and you know, all that kind of stuff. It's just efficient, clean, and good value for money.
It's pretty shrewd of you opening a wheel refurbishment company there, though, because the A28 just is appalling, isn't it? The amount of potholes in that road, that's where I did mine. Yeah.
Well, I think if we'd had a bit more frost, things would have been even worse, wouldn't they?
Absolutely,
But thankfully we've been spared the frost this winter.
I was thinking that, Graham, that we actually haven't had a frost. My geraniums and everything are all out. We're by the sea, but we don't seem to have had a frost at all.
No, well, I've counted two this winter, but it's extraordinary. Nothing but much, if you imagine with the amount of rain and the potholes and a bit of frost in there, it would have been...
But that stretch of the A28, where you are there, is appalling, and it has been for months, hasn't it? I know they've been kind of patching it now and again, but appalling there. I've got a Porsche, and it doesn't go over there very well at all.
Oh, well, you might be interested in there. We've got a rolling road there as well, a dynamometer.
Oh, have you?
What is a dynamometer?
Well, it's...
for all the ladies listening.
Well, basically, it's a bit of equipment that it's actually set down into the ground where you drive your car in the workshop, and it spins. It's on rollers that spin, and we can load those rollers to simulate situations where perhaps you're under load. Maybe you have an issue with your car, so you're accelerating up a hill at 50 miles an hour in third gear, and you get a hesitation or something happens. Well, we can simulate that in the workshop, recreate it, test it, and then hopefully fix it.
How easy is it, Graham, to get your machine over to Alicante, where my little Ford Mondeo...
I don't think it works like that, Jules, somehow.
My Ford Mondeo automatic that my dad gave me, an old banger, has been in the garage there for over a year, and every time I go, they go, oh, yeah, we fixed it, and... Yeah, never. They just cannot find out what it is.
That's a bit of manana, I think, that is.
Yeah. Well, I suspect it might be easier to get the car here than the dynamometer there.
Possibly. So how's the trade changed? You were there, you said, as a young boy, taking over from your dad. How have you seen it change over the years?
Well, interestingly, the principles, the sort of distribution principles, have remained pretty similar in that you have a manufacturer, you have a distribution network and a service network, and usually the sales distribution network is tied into the service network and, of course, the parts supply. And that traditional model has been questioned, and over the years Tesco's tried a sort of a supermarket type supply scheme that didn't work. There's been various people have, if you like, tried to enter the market and have moved away. And so it seems quite a robust model. Interestingly, the Chinese market, I mean, we think we've got a large market here. I think the biggest market we ever had was just over 2 million cars. China's a developing market, they sold over 20 million cars last year.
Wow.
I mean, that just dwarfs us. Yeah. And it's an emerging market. So, of course, all the large multinational manufacturers obviously want to get into the markets like China and India and Brazil, of course. But what I find particularly interesting is they could start from scratch there. They could reinvent the wheel. It could be online sales. It could be manufacturer direct sales, whatever. The model they have chosen within that marketplace is the same, basically the same. It's a dealer-franchised type model. Because it works, and inevitably, I think it just means it delivers the service to the customer in the best way.
Yeah.
So, I think that the way that motor cars are marketed, broadly speaking, is a fairly robust model.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because even with buying a new car, you might go and look on a website and use one of the car manufacturer's configurators and pick all your optional extras.
I was talking about pickle. Sorry,
she's
darling.
So food obsessed, this woman. It's unbelievable. She can turn anything to food.
Pickle, you said it.
You can pick your accessories and your options and then back out of it when you see how much it costs. But at the end of the day, you aren't going to go and buy a car until you've physically gone and seen it. And I think that's the thing, really, that for most people, you know, okay, fleet cars and things like that may be different, but, you know, an individual buying a car, they actually want to kick the tyres some stage.
There's a lot of emotion, of course, in the purchase of a new car. And again, theoretically, with a new car, because you roughly know what you're getting because you can see an alternative somewhere else and you choose a colour, and you're going to get what you get. So a new car could be delivered to market. Where the issues come are things like part exchanges of cars, and we've got a sophisticated remarketing market within the UK for part exchanges, and that is very difficult to do online. And and contrary to what a lot of people believe, shatter a few myths here. In fact, there's a well-known company that advertises on television that if you sell them your used car, you'll go and get more money off from a dealer. As a dealer, we welcome part exchanges. You know, we have a robust business in selling used cars. We want to buy the part exchange. And so it's a complete nonsense to suggest that you get a better deal if you didn't have a part exchange. So, yeah, I just would recommend people, if they're thinking about doing that, by all means, go and do your homework, but see what your dealer will offer you first. Because often, if it's a bad car, nobody wants it. But if it's a decent car, the chances are your dealer will be a very good buyer of that.
Yeah, I can confirm that. The website to which you allude, I got a quote from, which, just knowing a little bit about cars, was ridiculously high, and I thought, they're never going to give me that. When I go in with a car, I ain't going to get anything like what they've promised me on this website. And I took it to the dealer, to part exchange. In fact, I didn't part exchange it. I just sold it to a dealer, actually. And they gave me a really good price, which, you know, I wouldn't have got that from the online seller.
Well, of course, the online seller, their proposition is they will buy your car and sell it on in the trade. They're not a retailer. So if they're selling on the trade, they're selling it to dealers like us and other dealers who want to buy that car. So, you know, it's an interesting concept, but who knows that, you know, how robust that particular market will be. I don't
know. Now, here's my question, Graham.
Oh,
ready?
Go on then.
What car do you drive?
Well, I'm very fortunate. I drive all manners of cars. I'm driving a Ford today.
So whatever takes your whim.
What's the best way? I try to be diplomatic. So if I'm going to a Peugeot meeting, I'll probably turn up in a Peugeot. If I'm going for a Nissan one, you can probably guess what I'd be in. If it's a Fiat one, I'd be in a Fiat. So you won't get me to prefer one over the other.
Right.
Okay. Very, very. What's the word?
Diplomatic.
That's the word.
Diplomatic. Pragmatic. Yeah. Yeah, sensible. Any of those words will do.
Thank you.
Cool. Graham, I want to just touch on one of the reasons that you're here is, as you alluded to earlier, you've made this expansion on the outskirts of Canterbury and Chatham, and for that you made use of the East Kent Expansion Fund.
Yeah, we did.
And I'd just like to know your experiences of that and anything that you want to impart about the process that you went through in order to do that.
Sure, yeah, I'll be happy to talk about that, Paul. Initially, when we were putting this project together, I alluded earlier to the fact that it was a very capital-intensive project. Our overall capital spend was something like 1.8 million for the project, and that included buying a property. But the machinery involved, the equipment, is substantial. Like any business, a growing business, we have our own assets, but we also use funds. We use funds from ordinary clearing banks. But when we put this together, which probably two and a bit years ago, for the germ of the idea was seeded, and then it started to grow, and we needed to get our ducks in a row. So we were looking at financing, and it became quite clear that we might have to consider going ahead with this project with having 80% of the equipment we needed rather than 100%. And that was worrying because, as I mentioned earlier, this is about serving everybody and at an attractive price with an efficient offering. And if we haven't got it already on day one, it could affect us going, our credibility and so forth. And we were short for about £200,000.
Right.
And I'd read about Expansion East Kent, so I thought, well, I kind of assumed it was directed at maybe start-up companies, smaller companies, but I thought, well, I'll give it a go and see what's what. And in fact, they were extremely helpful, understood the situation, offered us a soft loan, so effectively an interest-free loan, which is repayable over a period that suits your business needs.
Yep.
And so we took it up. They were extremely helpful. They've been helpful. They've been very interested in our project. But critically, it allowed us to go in. So we spent that extra money on the final bits. So we were able to open all bells and whistles on day one, which has helped the success of the project as well. But in terms of achieving the support, there was an application process, there was a review process, and then the final support. And I felt that throughout it looked a lot worse than it actually was.
Yeah, cool,
you look at the form, you think, oh gosh, all of that. But when you actually start, oh, well, actually, I've got that. Well, of course, I've got my accounts. Yeah. And, you know, if you haven't got a cash flow, if you don't know what your new project is going to do for you in year one and year two, well, you probably shouldn't be doing it anyway.
Absolutely.
So long as you approach it step by step. And I tell you what was also very good, and I assume this happened to everybody. I was invited up to Maidstone to meet with a panel. And there were people there who were from KCC, but there were, I think, local accountants, a couple of lawyers, general business people, all of whom are involved within this particular scheme. And they just talked to me about it, and I talked to them about it, much like this, really.
Right.
And, you know, they had some questions, and they kind of teased out the important things I needed to know. And it was relaxed, but that told them more about the business, it told them more about us, more about our abilities than they could read on a bit of paper. And I think that's where the support came from. And, you know, that was it. It ticked off. You know, of course, there's a review process, and we send through our accounts, and we have to, obviously, the whole point of this is employment, and we've employed a lot of people over there, and we have to prove the employment levels, and which is only right and proper.
Sure.
And of course, we have to pay them back, which again is right and proper.
Bit of a nuisance, but
that's right. But then that goes round and round, and then that goes to somebody else, and you know, I think it's a cracking scheme.
Yeah.
It's really good, but people shouldn't be afraid of it.
I think that's the message that I wanted to hear, because a lot of business people I talk to have said, oh, that would be useful, but I think, you know, it's going to be really hard for me to get that, and it will be difficult. And your experiences really do encourage us that it's not, and it is just a sensible, pragmatic process.
I think the other thing that came through to me, Paul, was throughout the process, there's enough people in the process who know what they're talking about, that if I had a crackpot scheme, a harebrained scheme, I don't think it would have got through.
Right.
And, you know, somebody who's got a crackpot, a harebrained scheme might think, oh, well, that's a shame. But broadly speaking, they're being responsible with whoever's money is, the government money, I suppose.
Mm. Yeah.
But they're prepared to back people who've got a decent proposition. And,
absolutely.
You know, that's what. Yeah. And our proposition in Canterbury is a decent proposition, and it's proving so, because
absolutely,
the customers are coming back and back and back and back.
Absolutely. I operate as a business angel investor, and I get 10 business plans a week. And you quite often see people and they go, oh, do you know, we can't raise any money for that. And you go, do you know why? That's because it's a really rubbish idea. That's why.
That's free business advice, isn't it? When people say no.
Exactly. You know, you do find that quite a lot where people are very unrealistic in terms of what their needs are. But that is, it's really interesting to hear from you on that, Graham. We could talk about that for a lot longer, but sadly we've run out of time for the moment. So could you just give us a shout for your website and any Twitter accounts or anything you've got like that?
Well, yes. If our website is www.kapmotorgroup.co.uk. And there's links from on that website to all of our other sites. But for our Canterbury operation, which is this All Makes Service Centre, there's a special site called www.keepitkap. That's keepitkap.co.uk. And that's where you'll find special offers, MOT offers for $24.99.
And
you can buy your tyres. We won't be beaten for price on tyres. The service offers are terrific. So
that's fantastic.
It is.
Think you just got yourself
here to
a
start.
New customer.
Yes,
yeah, so
I'm thinking of my young son as well, Shay.
We'll look after him. Yeah. Promise you.
Yeah, fantastic.
Graham, thank you so much for that. We will put all those details on the Kent Business Radio website so people can follow up and find out more about it. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. But for the moment, Graham, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to meet you and hear from you and find out about the fantastic work that the KAP Motor Group are doing.
Thank you, Paul. I've enjoyed it very much.
Great. Thank you.
It's a breath of fresh air, actually, to be able to take your car somewhere and know it's going to be looked after and not to be completely ripped off with a huge bill at the end.
Yeah. I really have been in car mode the last couple of weeks. It's my own fault. I've been damaging things all over the place.
You have got about five cars.
I've got loads of cars.
Because you've got your jobs in Kent ones.
And I keep running into each other, which is not a good thing to do.
Have you got a Dodgems?
I mentioned our body shop, Paul.
Yeah, I do. Need that. I don't even get me started on that.
Did you like Dodgems as a kid?
No, I didn't.
Bumper car.
It was just one of those things. This is how stupid it was. I've got, as well as a Porsche, I've got an AMG Merc. And I leased the Merc, and the lease came to an end. And I liked the car so much, I decided to buy it from the lease company, which I didn't have to do, but I wanted to. And the day I bought it, I went over to Halfords, Ashford, to get something, and reversed into a Porsche GT2. It was totally my fault. I was no way I was going to claim on the insurance because it would have wrecked my insurance. So I ended up having to pay to have his Porsche fixed personally, which was not a pleasant thing.
And what was did the driver of the Porsche say? The other guy?
I can't possibly say that on the radio now, can I?
It was that bad, was it?
Yeah.
I think the thing is, it's probably your age, Paul Andrews, because as you get older, you know, you find it harder to look over your shoulder.
Funnily enough, just to protect myself, I was actually parked. I parked in a parking bay, and I needed to straighten up, but there was a 4x4 next to me, so I couldn't see. So I edged back, and it was just one of those unfortunate things. Just as I stuck the back out, he came past. And I hit his back wheel arch.
Why haven't you got one of those little bleepers when you
I have, but... Oh. I have.
Oh.
Don't even go there. No, but I took his back alloy out and on a Porsche Turbo. It's not cheap.
If you'd have known Graham then.
Exactly, yeah. No, well, it was him that got it fixed, not me. Anyway, enough of that.
Well...
I'm still crying now.
Two beautiful sisters have tweeted us. It's the Riverford sisters, Riverford Organic.
Oh, Liz.
Yes, the lovely Liz and the lesser known Caroline. She does exist.
The lovely Caroline.
Yes, the lesser known lovely Caroline.
You make her sound like a marsh warbler or something.
The lesser spotted
veg producer.
She is a bit of a warbler, actually.
Hey, don't be horrible.
Have you heard her?
Oh,
warbler?
You're in a right old horrible mood today, aren't
I'm
you?
You're
having a go at everyone.
It's because I've got this upper respiratory. I'm feeling a bit under the weather.
Yeah.
They're talking to us, and not only do they obviously deliver beautiful organic vegetables, but they have an Easter hamper, Paul Andrews, which they will deliver. And I'm going to read out their landline, gladly received this landline. It's 01227 730 355. So that's the Canterbury code, 730355. Now, they have an Easter hamper that you could send to a relative if you can't see them, or you can just get it for yourself. And it's got your leg of lamb and all the trimmings and all the veg, all your mint sauce and everything you need for Easter. That sounds like a really, really good thing. And they remind us also that asparagus is in season. So if you like a bit of asparagus wee at this time of year, there you go. Yeah, you know asparagus wee.
Oh, goodness.
It's a phenomena.
Who invites this woman on this show?
It's a phenomena, asparagus wee. You only get it in April.
Now you've said it three times. She does this every week. She does this every week. She tries to embarrass me with something that Ofcom will have me remove from the website.
I believe it's some of your guests, like the lovely Sam at, Breakfast Beef
funny
Our
enough,
Friends.
Funny enough, Sam,
he
Sam
leads
and John.
Me astray.
Yeah, Sam and John have just tweeted, actually. Well, it's funny you should say that. Blue Water Breakfast Friends.
Yes.
For that is Sam and John.
Beef
have
Our
said,
Friends.
Hi, Paul, Anna, could you mention the BF Blue Water, that's the Twitter handle, BF Blue Water, is on the 15th of April. And the full details are here. Hold on, let me click it. There's a booking site, which is eventbrite.co.uk/e/April Blue Water. So do have a look at that if you'd like to go to the Breakfast Friends Breakfast Networking Meeting on April the 15th at Blue Water. And that's from BF
Blue
Water.
You could go and do a bit of shopping afterwards, couldn't you?
You could indeed.
And then you could probably have lunch at that little, the M&S?
Hold on. Here we go.
So
you're going to go to a breakfast meeting. You're going to scoff your face with breakfast.
Yeah.
You're then going to go straight out of there,
buy a pair of shoes,
and then go shopping.
Yeah.
And then lunch.
Yeah. Probably going to the Apple shop as well, because that's there, isn't it?
Well, do they sell food?
They sell apples.
Yeah.
Right, Faversham tweet up, Paul Andrews. The Kent Business tweet up, .co.uk. Next week it's the turn of the Faversham tweet up, which is at Brogdale. You can trot along there at 9:30 next Monday. It's always the second Monday of the month. And to see details of all of these, it's kentbusinesstweetup.co.uk. And you can click on that and see all the others. There's one at Lenley's, which is the last Thursday of the month. There's the Miller's Arms. And there's the Whitstable Tweet Up, which is the third Thursday of the month. So there we are. What else? Kent and Victor Chamber have a free speed networking. And they say, maybe you're looking for a web designer. Maybe you need someone to package your product. That sounds like a bit of innuendo there. Are you on the lookout for a mentor? Are you searching for a potential business partner? Book your free speed networking place now. And it's 10 a.m. to 4 at all B2B events. So the next one is the 30th of April at the River Centre Tunbridge. And then the one after that is in July. That's the 8th of July, Ashford International Hotel. So I suggest you go to their website to check that out. And it's the West Kent B2B. Check them out. And we've got details on the Kent Business Radio website.
I've got a job for you.
Have you?
Have I got a job for you, Julesy baby?
Have you?
I have got a job for you. This is the Gillingham Dramatic Society Theatre Company are looking for singers, actors and dancers to appear in their autumn production of Hairspray.
Oh!
And that's at the Hazlitt Theatre Maidstone, the week beginning October the 5th.
Is that naked?
There will be six performances commencing on Tuesday the... That's hair, not hairspray. Commencing on Tuesday the 7th of October with a matinee and evening performances on Saturday the 11th of October. We are particularly interested in casting the following four principal parts.
Here we go.
This is the part for you, Jules. Motormouth Maybell.
At least it's not the back end of a horse.
Seaweed J Stubbs.
That would be good for you.
Edna Turnblad and Amber Von Tussle.
Oh, I could be Amber.
I think you'd be a brilliant Motormouth Maybell.
Thank you very much, Paul Andrews.
Open auditions will be held on Thursday the 24th of April, starting at 7:30 p.m. at the Brook Theatre in Chatham. That's the Brook Theatre in Chatham for the auditions. If you're interested in taking part in the show or auditioning for one of the major principal parts, either contact the company secretary on Medway 01634 372 322, or turn up at the Brook Theatre Chatham on the night. That's Thursday the 24th of April.
What do you have to wear then?
There will be a small financial cost and a high level of commitment will be necessary for Tuesday and Thursday evenings and Sunday mornings from the end of August. I don't know. You can find out more about that. We've actually put a post about that on the Business Bunker Facebook page. That's the Business Bunker Facebook page has a post about that where you can follow up on that should you wish. We have 141 outstanding tweets which I'm not going to manage to get round to reading, I'm afraid. But I have had one from Claire Joyce Photography, who says she's listening into the Business Bunker Show and she's thoroughly enjoying it. Thank you, Claire, for that.
So are we.
On the Twitter. Yeah, we're having a laugh too. Do you know what I'm going to do now?
More tunage.
I'm going to play a little bit of tunage and then we're going to speak to our next sensible guest.
Is this a rock song?
It is a bit of a rock song.
Who is it? Boys Are Back in Town.
They are indeed.
Ah, I do like a bit of Phil Lynott in the tight trousers.
Exactly.
Very nice. Little bit of Irish. Is he still alive? No.
No,
he died, didn't he? He was married to Leslie Crowther's daughter.
He was indeed.
How do we know all these things?
I don't know. It's amazing, isn't it?
Change had much to say, but man, I still think them cats are great. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. Told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy. The boys are back in town, the boys are back in town. I said, chick that used to dance a lot. Every night she'd be on the floor shaking what she'd got. Man, when I tell you she was cool, she was red hot. I mean she was steaming. And that time over at Johnny's place, well, this chick got up and she slapped Johnny's face. Man, we just fell about the place. If that chick don't wanna know, forget her. The boys are back in town. The boys are back in town. I said,
Business Bunker. Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on Tuesday the 8th of April with me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely Jules Serkin. That was a bit of Phil Lynott.
Yeah, Phil Lynott or Lynott. Yeah, you say Lynott, I say Lynott.
Yeah.
How did he die then?
Oh, I don't know.
Was it
know.
A car crash?
No.
Drugs?
I don't know. I can't remember. It was a long time ago.
If I had the choice of a date, Paul Andrews, between him and Jimi Hendrix, you know, who would I choose? It'd be difficult, wouldn't it?
It would be, really.
Maybe one on a Wednesday, one on a Thursday.
Except Jimmy would be, what, 73 now?
Yeah, well, that's about the only kind of age of man that fancies being
he might. I was going to say, you might stand a chance.
Because I thought the other day when Steve Harley came here, I thought, now I might have a chance. You know, he's a little bit older and, you know, but no, he didn't fancy
me. Didn't.
He didn't.
You know, we got Paul Weller in a couple of weeks.
Have we?
Yeah.
Oh, I might have to go on a diet before he comes in. Saw him live. He was absolutely brilliant. Did you know, Paul... we would appreciate a shout out. This is from Talking of the Salt Cave, Joe, as you and I were. breatheinsurance.co.uk. So hi Paul and Jules, would you please give us a shout out for my business? It's Breathe Insurance Brokers, and we're a local friendly insurance broker based in Medway and specializing in business insurance. Happy to offer free advice to Kent business owners who aren't sure what insurance they need or if they've got what's right for them. And here's an insurance tip, especially for Business Bunker listeners. When arranging business insurance, use an insurance broker rather than go direct, because then you can have someone fighting your corner in the event of a claim. You can follow Karen or tweet her on at Breathe Insure. That's BREATHEINSURE. That's Karen Thomas. And if you quote Business Bunker, she will give you your lovely free advice to any Business Bunker listeners.
Fabulous. We've had a tweet from Squarries at Westrum. Squarries is a country house, isn't it?
New listeners.
And it says, we listened to the Scoff and Quaff show earlier.
And they survived.
And now we're listening for the first time to the Business Bunker show. Highly recommended, they say.
Aww.
So thank you, chaps.
Well, they meant Scoff Quaff, probably.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't.
Listen to the whole of this yet. It goes downhill about now. Generally, after Joe, it goes downhill. After our second guest.
Ah, see, you had to row back from that really quickly, didn't you? She forgot what was coming up next. Yeah. Anyway.
But I want a discount on my Woodburn.
It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome our second guest to the Business Bunker show for today, Joe Allsop. Hi, Joe. How are you?
Hi, Paul. Very well, thank you.
Joe's from the Heating Hub. Thank you so much for joining us. It was all a bit last minute, really, wasn't it?
It was, but genuine pleasure
to
be here.
Cavalry,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah. Yeah, she came to our rescue, listener.
She's bought a lovely goodie bag. Yeah, lovely goodie bag. It's got the Heating Hub on it and the phone number, which I'll read in a minute. And this is this a bar of chocolate? What is this?
It does look like a bar of chocolate.
Yeah, you can eat that. Go on, eat that, Jules.
They're biomass fire lighters, so you can use them if you've got a wood-burning stove or on the barbecue.
I say. Wow. Thank you. Or both.
Cool.
Fantastic. I'm going to read out the phone number. It's 01634 826 143. Give them a ring and quote Business Bunker.
Joe, thank you for joining us. We can ignore her now. She's happy. She's gone off to try and eat a brick. She'll eat anything, this woman. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Joe and a little bit about the Heating Hub?
You should have played Come On Baby Light My Fire.
I should have done. I didn't think about that, did I?
Well, yes, I run the Heating Hub with my husband, Ben, who's very sick today. I want to say hello to him.
Yeah.
What's he got?
Man flu. A very bad case of it.
Get well soon, Ben.
So, ordinarily, both of us running the company. Mm. We set up about 6 years ago as a gas company. Ben was about 8 years with British Gas and wanted to further his career, really, and... Yeah, we set the business up. We worked from our middle bedroom, essentially, for a long time, but grew quite quickly. We wanted to create a company that local people had faith in using. Heating engineers can get a bit of a bad rep. And
tell me about it. You know, I was mentioning cars earlier.
Yeah.
Don't even get me started on boilers.
On plumbers.
Don't even get me started on boilers.
And there seemed to be a bit of a wide gap between one-man bands and Swale and British Gas, who charged a great deal more. So we wanted to be a local company kind of in the middle of that, still offering great customer service, accountability, good products, but not perhaps at the same prices as British Gas as well. So we started there and we moved into premises in about 2011. And it was really Ben's drive for learning more and furthering his career. He's a great mechanical and electrical engineer. That took us into wood burning stoves. So we set up a showroom from our premises in Rochester, which is going very well. We're in our third year of that now.
Wow,
and it's
okay.
it's very popular. It's increasingly. But where our niche has really come about has been boiler stoves. So the wet side of the system sits very well with our gas business. It's a plumbing essentially.
So is that to heat the water?
Yeah, so you have a back boiler in the stove, and it can provide hot water or heating, and we can combine them with solar panels and a gas boiler or an oil boiler, really finding ways of substituting fossil fuel systems.
Right.
And if you're off mains gas and you're paying a lot for oil or bottled gas, that's it's quite a good way of lowering your fuel bills. But very quickly from that, we went into biomass boilers, and that's a good chunk of our business now is domestic and commercial biomass boilers.
Okay, so I want to explore that. To explore what a biomass is.
Yes.
Sounds very exotic.
It does, doesn't it? It sounds faintly like something H.G. Wells would have written.
It's, for the most part, wood chips.
I love a chip.
Here we go.
Not crisps.
Yeah.
Logs or pellets. And pellets are a very low moisture content, reconstituted wood, very regular fuel, look a bit like cat litter.
Nice.
And they're the most popular boilers because they're a direct replacement for oil or gas boilers. You have an on-site fuel storage, gets delivered.
Can I ask you a really daft question?
Yeah.
I mean, pellets. I mean, does somebody manufacture these?
They do. There's a few plants. There's a few plants in the UK. Eddie Stobart and quite large companies are now delivering chip and pellet nationally. It's a real growing industry. And one of the great things about it is a fuel security, because gas and oil are obviously going up in prices, and people who are using those off-grid are feeling that the most. Mm. Whereas we have a very large woodland that is currently not managed, and there's a great resource there for us to put into pellet production, and we currently export it, so we're producing too much. Mm. And I think long term we might see county based facilities that are producing pellet, delivering it locally. It's very sustainable. At the moment it's about the same price as mains gas, so there's a fuel saving for a lot of people who are not on mains gas.
Mm.
It's a good sustainable industry, I think.
It's a really weird this. My house, I've got loads and loads of trees, and during the bad weather I lost at least 6 trees. So I've got, and they were big trees, you know, like huge, humongous trees. And they're all cut up in my garden. I've got nothing to do with them because I have no open fireplaces at the moment.
Right.
And all I have is a gas fire. And you can't burn logs on a gas fire.
No.
I've tried.
Well, if you stack and season them, it takes about 2 years, ready for 2 years' time.
There you are. You're going to have one, aren't you? A wood burner.
It would make utter sense because I actually have my own wood. Would you believe I've got a bluebell wood at the bottom of my garden, the other side of the boating lake. And
you've got a boating lake as well.
Huh?
Have you got a summer house?
I have, yeah.
There you are, so you can have everything. You have ducks. Have you got ducks?
Oh, don't even get me started on the ducks, damn things. I want to come back to these pellets, though, because I'm fascinated by that.
I should have brought some with me.
You should have done, yeah.
I'm
kind of thinking that they're constituted out of sawdust and stuff like that. Is that how it works?
Is
that offcuts or whatever?
Yeah, it depends on the facility, but there is capacity for taking clean, untreated wood, recycled wood, and reusing it. As well as new woodland. But it has to be very dry, so they're very, very low moisture content.
Right.
And there's nothing added to them. It's really just the, what do you call it, in the wood?
Something in
the
wood.
The sap in the wood
that
holds them together. They're just held together by the sap.
It's odd that, isn't it, when you think about wood and burning. It's like charcoal is intrinsically burnt wood.
Yes.
And you have to burn it before it burns properly, which is a bit weird when you kind of say it like that, isn't it? But that's how
most
how
things
it works.
You say are weird anyway.
That is true. Okay.
But I mean, what about the cost of these things? Because I would have thought that pellets are getting is an expensive thing, whereas wood logs would be cheaper.
Yes, that's true. So we look at it to compare like for like. We look at it in kilowatt hours, the price per kilowatt hour.
Mm.
So oil is about 7.8p per kilowatt hour.
Mm.
LPG is slightly more expensive. Electricity is something like 12.5 to 14.5p per kilowatt hour. So mains gas is 4.5p and pellet is the same per kilowatt hour. Log is probably 1p. Kilowatt hour, very roughly, and chip is 2p per kilowatt hour.
Okay, so
it does
log
go
and
up.
Chip.
They are cheaper, but it's a very particular lifestyle that you have to lead for log, essentially, because you have to load it every day, so you're a bit of a slave to your heating. Mm. But it suits some customers very, very well. Mm. And we've got a customer in Sevenoaks who runs a tree surgery business, so he has a lot of waste wood. We've just fit a 100 kilowatt log boiler. It's enormous. It's about the size of my small bedroom.
Wow.
And he loads that up. He's getting paid by the renewable heat incentive, so he's getting paid to generate that energy.
Right, okay.
It serves his house and his neighbouring house. Wow. We ran heat main to both houses.
Well, there you are. Paul Andrews could do that with his wood.
I haven't got any neighbours.
You have a small industry.
No, well, I'm not surprised. They've all moved on.
Yeah. So that's log, essentially. I think if you generate wood in some way, if you're a landscape gardener and you're kind of used to that lifestyle, yeah, you do need to be there every day to load it.
Yeah, it's a bit roughy-toughy, isn't it? You've got to sort of wake up. You'd break a nail, wouldn't you, chopping all the wood
and
stuff?
Yeah. It's not for me.
Mm. But if you don't do it and you don't keep it going, or say you're ill and you've got flu and you can't be bothered, then you'd have no hot water.
That's right. Some people sort of switch over.
Yeah,
some people fit it with a gas boiler and oil boiler as a backup, but most people choose log. And you can have actually combined log and pellet systems. So if you're not loading it with log, you have an automated pellet system. Mm. So that will kick in if you're ill or you're away and you want it to come back on when you get home.
So if you had that with solar panels as well, you'd be more or less self-sufficient,
yes,
wouldn't you?
That is a common combination, to have solar panels. So that you just have solar for hot water in the summer and the pellet boiler or the log boiler during the winter.
Cool. So, that is fascinating.
It is fascinating.
It is an absolutely fascinating business. And like a lot of things, the technology evolves and changes all the time. So, you know, it's something that you need to keep up with as well, presumably, as you look at things. Just the price of different fuels changes as you go along,
yes,
depending on what's going on in the world. Where I live now, I do actually have mains gas. Where I lived before, I didn't. So you were reliant on oil heating, which was horrendously expensive at that time.
Yeah.
But even where I live with mains gas, I used to use Calagas for heat in my swimming pool, for instance. And that was horrendous. It was absolutely horrendous.
Mm.
I got a heat exchanger now, which is much more efficient, but...
Well, I mean, lots of people have different motivations for installing a renewable system.
Mm.
And some of it's green, some of it's the fuel's too expensive, some of it's fuel security. But yeah, it can work on a lot of levels.
Yeah, sure.
So are you totally now against open fires? Would you ever fit an open fire if a client wanted one?
We don't, actually. I think because they're all heating engineers, they all see that open fires tend to suck all of the air. They need a lot of ventilation. They suck all of the air out of the room. Mm. So we don't put a lot of heat back into the room.
Yeah.
So we tend to prefer stoves. They work more efficiently. They're sort of easier to maintain.
And what about with a real flame gas effect fire? Anything like that do you do or not?
We don't. We don't do a lot of gas fires, actually. Okay. We tend to stick to boilers and stoves. Yeah.
Good.
What I want to talk to you about now, Joe, because we're kind of fast running out of time, unfortunately, is you've made, a bit like Graham with the East Kent Expansion Fund, you've made use recently of the Tiger Fund,
yes,
which is a fund over in North Kent. Do you want to talk a little bit about some of the things that went around that and your experiences of doing that?
Yes. Yeah, so I think it started up about last April. So we applied fairly quickly. There was a pre-application process and they turn it around very quickly. The timings are quite important because I think if you're putting together proposals, particularly as a small business, once you've done that proposal, you need to move to it fairly quickly. So they turn things around quite fast. So we got a response saying, yes, in principle, we like your idea. You then have 3 months to submit a full application. And again, they respond very quickly. Our application went to PricewaterhouseCoopers. Over a certain threshold, it gets picked over by them, which is quite good in a way. You don't often, as a small business, get someone like that to look at your business and risk it.
Yeah. Well, as Graham mentioned earlier, it's kind of free business advice.
It is
really,
free
isn't
business
it?
Advice. Yeah. They did give us a glimpse of what their ratings were, and we came out quite favourably, which I was very pleased to see.
Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
So they look over the proposal, and once in principle they like it, and we have to provide a cash flow and quite a detailed business plan. But I think, as Graham said, I think if you're not too scared of the process, if you treat it like your own detailed business plan, as you would normally do as a business anyway, then it's not really too hard a task to complete. And in fact, it's a very useful process as a business to imagine what your business should be or what it could be, and then know how much money you need to do that, and then just follow that through.
Mm.
And I think if you have that faith and In the business and the proposal that you put forward, there's not really any question that you wouldn't get the funding, because if you believe it and it's you know, it's a solid proposal, then the panel will believe it too. Mm. And that was my experience. We went to Rathgrain, went to about 12 people, county councillors, local councillors, businessmen, did a presentation. They asked us some questions. They're very gentle. I was just on my own, and you know, it's quite a daunting process, really. Right. But, you know, they picked out what they needed to know and were very, very positive.
Right. Can I ask what you used the expansion for?
Yes, well, ours, because we're such a small business, I suppose, we just used it to expand.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The principal thing really was Ben. He, as I said, he's a very talented mechanical and electrical engineer, and his real talent is in designing these complex systems that we're installing now, the bigger biomass that combine gas heating and we're retrofitting onto old systems. And so his talent is really the drawings and the schematics and the design and the hydraulics and the electrics. And he can't do that if he's got his head in a boiler. So it was moving him off the tools into an office-based role, which he's now, we've pretty much done with Tiger funding. And then that money was used to buy some vans and recruit some engineers to fill the gap.
Right, okay.
He's also does a lot of training. So we have four apprentices. So we've got apprenticeship program. Yeah. And so we essentially recruit talented gas engineers and talented apprentices and build on their gas skills to install renewable systems. The two sit very well together. So he sort of masterminds their training, and we look at what gaps there are in the business in skills terms and also what they want to do with their careers. Most of them always say wood burning stoves. They're keen on it. So looking to give them the training that they want whilst also meeting the needs of the business.
Fabulous. Mm-hmm. That's a virtuous circle that you're creating there as well, isn't it?
Yeah. I think for us, we feel kind of at the forefront of heating. There are not a lot of companies that are combining the things that we do, bringing the gas and sort of wood burning side together. Mm. But I think it's the future for the business. Mm. And I think we're all learning as we go.
Sure.
Whereas the apprentices are in the young, you know, early 20s, it will be bread and butter to them by in 10 years' time. Mm. So and for us, the colleges aren't quite giving them the skills that they need to do our work. So we're having to fill that gap, which is absolutely fine. It's got to be a mixture of work and college-based training.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Fabulous stuff. Again, we could talk about this forever, but sadly we've run out of time, Joe. Thank you so much. Give us a shout for your website and your Twitter handle and all that kind of stuff.
Both the same, the Heating Hub with a U, not a hob, .co.uk, and at the Heating Hub is for Twitter.
Fabulous. So do give them a follow on the Twitter. The website is on the Kent Business Radio website, so people can follow up with it. For the moment, Joe, thank you so much for that. It's an absolute pleasure for you to be with us today, and we really appreciate you coming down here.
Thank you very much.
Do stay with us for the last 10 minutes or so of the show. But for the moment, Joe Allsop of the Heating Hub, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And get well soon, Ben.
Yeah, get well soon, Ben. Yeah.
Man, flu. Flu, get it?
Oh,
just slip neatly.
Oh,
the Port of Dover's contribution to UK and European economy is confirmed. Proof that the Port of Dover is a national asset and crucial to the performance of the Kent economy has been demonstrated by an economic impact survey. And this impact survey was calculated by Auxera. At 2.2 million freight vehicles a year using the port, and they carry goods worth an estimated 89 billion, which is reinforcing Dover's reputation as Europe's busiest ferry port. And the report also highlights Dover's role as one of Europe's most important ports, with 98% of its freight traffic by weight either originating in or destined for the EU. And Tim Waggett, who's the chief executive of Port of Dover, has said that this report shows the real and the too often unseen value of the port and the work of the team on behalf of UK PLC and the customers it serves, and the scale and value of the goods handled by the people working at the port is staggering and demonstrates its importance to the nation and the need for continued and major investment. That's pretty amazing. And to add further value, Dover Harbour Board recently announced plans for the revival of the Western Docks with the development of a new cargo terminal and associated facilities. And this will have the prospect of creating more than 600 jobs, which will create an additional 25 million of gross value added, GVA, per year of the district's economy. Well, what do you think of that, Paul Andrews?
I think that's very good.
It is. It sort of takes away a little bit from the Manston thing going on, which is upsetting me. you know, the Manson Airport thing, which makes me very sad.
Yeah.
And what did we say on this show, you and I? Yeah. We thought they'd build houses on it, didn't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, we did. We did, and maybe they will. It's one of those really tough calls, isn't it? If you don't use something, you're going to lose it, and that's the problem. You know, people start these campaigns to, you know, keep Manston, but the way to keep it is to use the airplanes,
exactly.
Basically.
Exactly.
And it's as simple as that. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like that's going to happen, but we shall see. You never know.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, absolutely. The Twitter seems to have gone mad. They seem to be having a rock afternoon. Everybody seems to be made up by the fact that I actually bowed to Steve Trim of Venom Tech
Berry.
And played some rock music. as it happens, I'd just like to say I actually picked that before Steve tweeted me and told me he wanted more rock music.
So you're saying you're not going to have a request show?
No, I'm not. No, that's later.
We couldn't cope, could we, with
no, we
requests?
Couldn't. No. I've got an email here that says, hello.
Hello.
In the spirit of the Chinese proverb, give a man a fish, he eats for a day. Teach a man to fish, he eats for a lifetime.
Mm.
I thought it was different to that. The one I heard was, give a man a fish, he eats for a day, teach a man to fish, and he sits around in a boat drinking beer.
Yeah, that sounds a bit more like it. All sounds a bit fishy to me.
Yeah. We bring you our new programme of marketing masterclasses. There are 6 new and updated courses for you. All are designed to give you practical skills that empower you to make a difference in your business. We are running each masterclass at 3 different venues across Kent, Canterbury, Ashford and Maidstone, to give everyone plenty of chance to attend. There's a strong emphasis on new technology and digital marketing techniques, but we are not forgetting the basics of planning, pricing, copywriting and PR either. It's £99, which includes VAT at a time. Each one will pay for itself almost immediately in the changes you are able to make to your business. And we can save you money by bringing a friend or booking 2 places across different courses. You can check out all the details on our website, which is www.thepurpleedge.co.uk. So do go to thepurpleedge.co.uk to find out more about their marketing courses. After all, if you can't pay someone else to do your marketing for you, then you better learn how to do it yourself. And that's
right.
The lovely Sharon Wilding. Thank you for that, Sharon.
Kent and Victor Chamber have a networking breakfast with business. It includes a full English, 8 to 9.30. On Thursday the 10th of April, it's at Maidstone Museum. Maidstone, that would suit you, Paul Andrews. You look good in a museum, I think. And Tuesday the 22nd of April, Best Western Manor Hotel in Gravesend. There's also an afternoon tea networking, 1.30 to 3.30. And the next one is Canterbury Cathedral Lodge, and that's Friday the 25th of April.
Cool.
Well done.
We've had a tweet from Stuart Carpenter, who says, first time of listening to the Business Bunker Show and really enjoying it, learning loads, some great guests, and it's better not to reverse into car park spaces. Yeah, thank you so much for that, Stuart. No, I'm glad you told me that.
I think that's what he's learned from listening to the show.
3 weeks too late, he's told me that. Let me find out what Stuart does. He, on the Twitter, he's Carpenter Biz, Carpenter B-I-Z, and he's a Business Links coach. So thank you, Stuart. Thank you for joining in with the Business Bunker, and it's a pleasure to have you as a new first-time listener. One of our old stalwarts, Mr. Piperis Philippaios, is loving following Paul's speaking events and product announcements. Thank you for that, Pip.
Federation of Small Businesses, North Kent Branch Networking Plus guest speaker, Dickens World, and they're at the Chatham Maritime, Kent, ME4-4LL, and this is on Wednesday the 9th of April, so that's this Wednesday, 5.15 to 7. Want to know how PR can promote your business for free? Experienced journalist and guest speaker Janet Murray gives her insights into how you can make it work for your business. Plus, get a free ebook, Make Journalists Fall in Love with You. I had that. Gavin Serkin is a journalist. Janet regularly writes...
That would be your new husband, wouldn't it?
My new husband, yes. Janet regularly writes articles for national newspapers and magazines, so don't miss out. There's a free buffet and refreshments. And this is from the fabulous Neville Gaunt, who's the chairman of the North Kent branch. And you can phone them on 01-622-688-134. And we will put details of that on the Kent Business Radio website after the show.
Fabulous, thank you. We've had a tweet from Miriam McGurk, the author of the lovely Tales from Turkey book.
She's a writer, you know.
She is indeed a writer. She has obviously taken your ailments to heart. Aww. Because she says she's on her way over here armed with her natural remedies from her medicine Aww. Chest to sort you out.
Lovely, I expect she will. She'll have all her lavenders and
rub a bit of embrocation on your chest, presumably.
Yeah, that's what I need. A bit of goose fat, probably. We had a goose on Scoff and Quaff this morning, didn't
we? Yeah. Are you telling me you needed basting?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, probably. Federation of Small Business. Mid-held branch meetings are held at the library. What's a mid-held?
That's mid-Kent, isn't it?
Mid-held, it says. It must be mid-Kent.
I would have thought so.
It must be some sort of typo. They're held at the library, Castle Road, Allington.
Yeah, that would be mid-Kent.
I'll read you out the sat-nav to get to this place. It's on the 10th of April, and the sat-nav is ME16OPR, 7 to 9 o'clock, 10th of April, as I said. And if you want to find out more, it's at the library, Castle Road, Allington. You can contact the chairman, Ivan White, Federation of Small Businesses, Mid-Kent branch. Yeah, it is Mid-Kent. office.kent@fsb.org.uk.
Fabulous. Manana, that's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Join us for another packed Digibury. Wednesday the 9th of April, 7:30pm to 9:30pm at the Gulbenkian Theatre in Canterbury is the ubiquitous Digibury meeting. It's a meeting for geeks. And the talks this time are from Fran Hazelden and Becky Ball. As part of their final year project at the University of Kent, Fran and Becky created an integrated multimedia experience with support from BBC Research and Development. They have developed a prototype of a companion app to work alongside the BBC Commonwealth Games 2014 coverage, which will also be used as the benchmark for future dual screen projects. Drawing on their experience, they will not only share their journey so far, but also insights into the emerging trend of dual screening. And also on the same talk will be Chris Roberts, who's an engineer, a broadcast engineer. Chris is currently working for BBC Major Projects Infrastructure, and he's been contributing developer for the Open Outside Broadcast, utilising Opus for broadcast audio links since 2013. The performance of audio over IP is defined by the codecs used to encode and decode audio. Blimey.
That sounds very technical.
Did you understand any of that?
No, I was reading the next thing I got to read.
Jeez, I think we ought to get along to Digibury and find out what they're talking about, don't you?
I always think they're going to have a didgeridoo there.
And staying with the app theme, they also have Paul Hallett. Paul is a developer evangelist at Twilio, and he will be talking about the power of APIs.
What's Twilio?
That's a company.
Okay.
That's a company, and he'll be talking about the power of APIs in the modern web and how APIs are changing web app builds.
Well, it sounds like a fun-filled boffin event.
It's a boff geek central phenomena, and it gets very well attended. So if you are a boff geek nerd, get along to Digibury tomorrow night at the Gulbenkian Theatre at the University of Kent at Canterbury.
And also the Fat Carrot, who is on the Superior Show.
The lovely Jane.
Today at 11 o'clock, the Scoff and Quaff Show, which can be heard on www.scoffquaff.co.uk. She is holding lots and lots of sort of nibbly evenings and suppers and things. I'm going to read out her website. It's probably the easiest thing. So it's www.thefatcarrot.co.uk. And she's at the Fat Carrot 11 on Twitter. Now, she's doing a beautiful Sissinghurst Castle visit and lunch on the green. Now, this is all veggie, cucumber sarnies, mushroom and walnut slice, pea and courgette tartlets, salad, carrot cupcakes, fruit scones and rose jelly, and lemon drizzle cake with homemade still sparkling lemonade and Kentish apple juice and elderflower cordial. So that sounds lovely. So get along to one of those. She's got lots of events coming up.
Right, I'm not happy.
Why?
What's I'm not there? Happy. What's Pip has been on again.
Piparis?
Piparis.
Little Greek man.
He said, you read my tweet out, but you didn't look at the photo, which I didn't. So I've just looked at the photo.
All right.
Thank you, Pip. I will get you for that.
What is it?
You know the photo of me presenting at the Kent Women in Business Awards?
In your blue velvet
In
attire.
My blue velvet DJ.
Yeah.
He has photoshopped it to add a top hat and make me look like Willy Wonka. And they've changed the background to Willy Wonka's. It is actually quite funny. I will admit that, but I'm going to kill him. So thank you for that, Pip.
That must have taken him hours.
Yeah. Well, he's got nothing else to do, has he?
Oh, I've just got it on the Twitters. I'm going to retweet it just to enforce it. And I'll probably put it on my website,
Will
Facebook.
You? Have you looked at the picture?
Everywhere else.
It is quite funny, isn't it?
It's like that one. Do you remember I was watching Mr. Selfridge once and I sent you a picture? You were having lunch. Oh, that is hilarious. You look like Jonathan Ross.
Yeah.
Actually, doesn't he? He looks like Jonathan Ross. I'm just passing it to our guests.
While you're... yeah, go on.
Willy Wonka? Did you say
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it was Willy Wonka.
Not paying attention.
Yeah, Willy Wonka, definitely.
Right. Anyway, we'll get back to some decorum. The Institute of Directors have called for a sustainable rural economic future. A sustainable economic future for Kent's rural industries is being called for by the IOD Kent branch. Emma Lydiard, who is the chair of the Kent branch of the Institute of Directors, said the rural economy is vital for Kent businesses. Many of our businesses are small and medium-sized enterprises and are based in rural economies. They provide a vital lifeline for jobs, supporting local communities and supply chains. Without these SMEs, many other businesses in the rural sector would have a tough task surviving. The recent change in climate is also challenging for businesses in the rural sector. Many IOD Kent branch members are in this sector and are vital to the Kent economy. They usually have their fingers on the pulse of Kent and are integral to helping the county change and react to these challenges. So that's the IOD Kent supporting Kent rural-based SMEs. Thank you for that, Emma, and the folks at the IOD.
And the BCB Business Community Breakfast is going crazy
over at Gillingham,
this Thursday.
Golf Club.
Gillingham, yeah. Yes. Yeah. And that's concentrating on the World Wide Web this Thursday with Stuart Kenny of the Liquid Business Group. And he'll be speaking on the subject, getting the best from your website. Stuart has many years' experience in designing and maintaining websites for large and small companies and charities, and he's got links to many past and present members of the BCB. It's held every second Thursday each month at Gillingham Golf Club between 7:30 and 9 a.m. Just £10 for a full English. Vegetarian options are available. Please let them know in advance. So if you want to book this, you go on to www.businesscommunitybreakfast.co.uk, and that's from the lovely Ken Wheeler.
Fabulous. I've got a couple of things I need to read out really quickly, and then the show's over, to be honest.
Yeah.
The Lawyer Fair. We launched in October. We provide a free legal comparison service that matches the legal needs of businesses with pre-approved panel lawyers. We're different to all other legal comparison services in that we are dedicated to the SME and micro business community, and we do not handle consumer leads. I will do some more on this in coming weeks, but the CEO is Andrew Weaver, and the comparison website is www.lawyerfair.com. That's lawyer, LAWYERFAIR, lawyerfair.com. We'll put a link to that on the Kent Business Radio website, but Andrew is going to be a guest on the show in a couple of weeks' time, in which he will go over this in much more detail. So we will talk about that. Following Thursday week on April the 17th, there's the Brownies Business Networking, which is taking place at the Best Western Abbots Barton Hotel in Canterbury, and it's supported and attended by the Federation of Small Business. That's on Thursday the 17th of April, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m, £10 a person. If you'd like to book, you can email Janice Watton, that's the tall one, the lovely Janice, at events@castlewoodhotels.com. So do book yourself on that at the fabulous Abbots Barton Hotel in Canterbury.
Loch Associates, Personal Services Firm of the Year, delighted to announce that the Loch Associates have won the Professional Services Firm of the Year 2014 award at the Gatwick Diamond Business Awards. And it took place at Effingham Park Hotel in Gatwick. So well done, guys. We'll read more about that next week.
Fabulous. I think that's about it, really. We've reached the end of our show once again. Thank you for joining us.
Luncheon time, I say.
It is indeed. Thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. A massive, massive thank you to our two fabulous guests, Mr. Graham Furneaux of KAP Motor Group, the lovely Joe Allsop of the Heating Hub. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on here. You've been listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jewel Serkin. Coming up on Channel Radio later today, at 3 o'clock we have Kevin Cam with the Extra Milk Show. Then at 5 o'clock, the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery.
We have a queue forming.
Yeah, we have a brand new show starting tonight at 7 p.m, 7 till 9, Dan the Pub.
That's with Phil Thorne
and Jonathan Goodman, and they're going to be talking about banter, beer, balls and babes and bands. I think you've got some idea what that's about.
Yeah.
And then at 9 o'clock is the absolutely fabulous Mr. Jamie Andrews with the New Potato Show. 18 tracks of new, unsigned, up-and-coming music to see you through to the end of the evening. And this week, on this week's show, he will be joined by Stu. So Stu and Jamie will be doing
the
dynamic duo will be doing the new potato show from 9 to 11. But for the meantime, thank you for listening to us on the Business Bunker Show. We will be back with you next week. Have a fabulous week, and we will see you all soon.
Bye bye.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.